Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16. We'll read verses 1 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that had wasted his goods. And he called him, and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I put of the stewardship, that may receive me into their house. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and writest 40. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you have done for us here in this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May the Holy Spirit change hearts, change lives, and change eternities. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, may I start by saying it is time for some of you here to have a serious talk. You say a serious talk, with who should I have that serious talk, Brother Owens? Well, it is not with me, but you do need to have a serious talk. It is not with your husband, though some of you may need to have a serious talk with your husband. The talk about which I speak today is not with your mate. But some of you need to have a serious talk, not with your parents. But somebody here needs to have a very serious talk. And not even this morning so much with God. There's somebody here that needs to look yourself right square in the eye and have a good talk with yourself. There's some of you that need to stop running from yourself. There are some of you that need to stop avoiding yourself. There's somebody here that needs to stop ignoring yourself. Some of you need to insist upon some things from yourself. You will either be your own best friend spiritually, or you will be your own worst enemy spiritually. The person that has the most influence over you is not me. The person that has the most influence over you is not your mate. The person that has the most influence over you is not mom or dad or a brother or a sister. The person that has the most influence over you is you. You. Now, I disagree with the thing called humanism. In no way am I about to talk about being humanistic. I believe that God is the final authority and man's not supposed to do what's right in man's eyes, but man is supposed to do that which is right in God's eyes. And right and wrong has been defined in an old black book, and God tells us what's right and wrong. But let me say to you, you need to face you. In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, we see a parable being a story about what is called an unjust steward. A rich man had a business, and I will just to make it simple to understand, this business was a business of loaning money, or he was in the money business, if you will. This rich man had a gentleman working for him, and we would call him a steward, but he was his assistant. So the rich man had an assistant, and this assistant kind of looked over the rich man's accounts. Well, someone told the rich man, he said, this guy that's working for you, he's a wasting your money, and he's not handling the accounts and things the right way. He's not doing his job right. Well, of course, this frustrated the rich man. The rich man called his helper in, the steward in, and he says, yeah, your job's in jeopardy. You're not doing what's right. You're not handling the money right. And then the Bible says in verse number 3 of Luke 16, it says, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? You see, this boss had said, you need to knock it off and fly right. At that moment then, the steward had to make a decision. He had to face himself. What am I going to do? And the Bible says, he asked himself within himself, what am I going to do? He then tells himself to do something that seemingly turned out pretty good. Something that he had not been doing. And in verse 8, the Bible says that his Lord, or the rich guy, ends up commending him for at least using some good sense about how he handled himself. Here's what happened. That steward, that assistant, he took a moment and he preached to himself. He preached to himself. The Bible says this about David. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, here David had come to a point in his life, things were kind of falling apart around him just a tad bit, and he found himself discouraged about what was happening. The people around him were upset with him, the people around him were disappointed with him, and now David is disappointed in himself, and David is discouraged himself. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. David preached to himself. David was about to be stoned. And I'm not talking about stoned like you got last night. David was distressed. The Bible says he was greatly distressed. And David had no one at that moment to run to his emotional aid to encourage him. And David looked David right square in the eye and said, you have got to encourage yourself. And he did. The Bible says David encouraged himself. David preached to David. The steward in Luke 16 preached to himself. Recently, I was down south preaching at a meeting. A pastor said, Brother Owens, could you give me some time after the service this evening? I need some help. I sat down with this pastor. He must have been a man in his late 30s to early 40s, been pastoring his church for many, many years. We began to talk. And he said, Brother Owens, I need some help. I said, now, I'll help you with this particular situation and this one. I said, but when we're done, I really want to help you to where when I'm not around, you'll know what to do. He said, oh, that would be great. We talked about a couple of situations. I gave him some advice, and then I said this to him. I said, I know something about you. I know a lot of what you know. And you need to be reminding yourself of what you already know. I said, you need to learn to preach to you. You need to learn to go into your mind, remember what you've been taught, remember how you've been trained, remember the Bible you've studied and you've heard preached, and you need to get up Sunday morning and look you right square in the eye, and you need to start helping you more. I said, because some of the questions you're asking me, you already know the answer. Everybody look right this way. You already know the answer. You already know what's right to do. And I said, sir, I'm going to tell you of the greatest study that you can make outside studying the Bible. I said, you need to study you. I said, you need to learn to preach to you. You need to study you. And you need to know your weaknesses. And then do something about them. You need to learn your strengths. And then do something about them. You need to learn about your own temper. And then you need to preach to you about your temper. I said, you need to learn what discourages you, sir. I said to this preacher, I said, if you'll learn what discourages you, then you can build your life and build your ministry, realizing that thing right there is a discouragement, and it never has to catch you off guard. Or if it does come into your life suddenly, you shake yourself and say, I knew when that came it would get me, and you don't have to stay down long because you know you. We spent about 30 minutes, and I said, let me teach you how to learn you. Let me teach you how to preach to yourself. We got done. He said, boy, Brother Owens, he said, I've never really thought through that. He said, you're exactly right. He said, thank you. He said, you helped me solve those other two problems for the week, but this thing that you just said, I think it can help me solve problems for years to come. Did you know something? Do you know who preaches to me every week? I don't sit in the pew with you. You don't prepare a sermon for me. I don't go somewhere to hear someone preach on Wednesday night. I don't go somewhere to hear someone preach on Sunday morning. I don't go somewhere to hear someone preach on Sunday night. Most of my preaching across the country, I preach by myself, and I virtually prefer it that way. I do preach with some. Just yesterday, Brother Donnelly and I preached for a couple days together, enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank God for it. It was good for me. I enjoyed it. But I spend most of my time preaching by myself and to myself. This morning, Jeff Owens is preaching to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. This morning, Jeff Owens is preaching to some visitors that are not members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Oh, Jeff Owens, this morning, this will end up on a tape and a CD, and they'll go across the country and onto our website, and people this evening at midnight will download them and hear them from all over the country. But wait a minute. That is not the end of the listening audience, because this morning, I will preach to me. I have no pastor. I have many pastors. I have pastors who have said to me, Brother Owens, I am a pastor, but I feel like I need a pastor. Would you please be my pastor and counsel me as I pastor? You know, I'll tell you what some of you need to learn to do. And Brother Williamson, I'm going to use this microphone. It's time for some of you to learn to preach to yourself. And people in the choir, stay awake or don't sit in the choir. People down there don't want to watch you sleeping up here while I'm trying to preach to them. Just go to sleep, go to bed earlier at night and stop watching the late show. And I need me to stay awake while I'm preaching too. So I'm preaching to myself right now. Do you know what some of you need to learn to do? Some of you need to learn to preach to yourself. Some of you need to picture yourself maybe standing in a pulpit. You picture you standing in the pulpit, and you picture you going down there and sitting down, and some of you need to tear into yourself. Some of you need to preach some hot sermons to yourself. It's time for some of you to look you right square in the eye and learn to preach to yourself. In the privacy of your mind, you need to preach some sermons to you. The Bible teaches that it is a man that is called to preach. Men pastor churches. Men are evangelists. But let me tell you something, ladies. Here is your chance to be a preacher. Because every lady here needs to learn to do some preaching. And I'm not talking about in a pulpit. I'm talking about in your mind. And I'm not talking about in your mind preaching to others. I'm talking about in your mind preaching to yourself. You need to learn to look you right square in the eye. And some of you need to cut loose and preach some old-fashioned sermons to yourself. Ushers, help me, if you will. And everybody look right this way. And it's very obvious you need this sermon desperately. I've had two or three people get up, move around. Everybody just pay attention right here. It is so hard to preach when people are moving around, nodding off, playing, and goofing off. We're going to do it anyway. I'll guarantee that. I don't care how bad the devil doesn't want this sermon out. We'll get it out. But you just look right this way. Hey, if something's going on somewhere in the auditorium, you ignore it, and you look right here at me. I'm the bullseye for the morning, and some of you would love that too, wouldn't you? You need to learn to preach to yourself. Some of you, you need to look at yourself. You need to put yourself in a pulpit. You need to preach to yourself. And after you've cleaned your own ever-loving clock, you need to give an invitation. You need to walk the aisle after hearing yourself preach to yourself and get right with God. Some of you need to get out a little piece of paper and write down on a decision slip the decision you made while listening to yourself, correct yourself, and fix yourself, and get yourself under conviction. Some of you, I can't figure out what to do with you. I can't seem to get you under conviction. Maybe if we could get in your mind and you would do it yourself, we could get the job done. You need to preach to yourself. Give an invitation. Make yourself make some decisions. We live in such a lazy society. People want to come to church but never make decisions. Want to hear the preaching, but they don't want to make a decision. I'm not changing that. I just came to hear it. Well, good night in the morning. Do you think church is so you just get entertained? And some of you need to make yourself make some decisions. You make some decisions for God. Hey, and I don't care if I'm doing the preaching or you're doing the preaching or Brother Bush is doing the preaching or Brother Young's doing the preaching or Brother Nash is doing the preaching or Brother Josh Owens is doing the preaching or Brother Dewan's doing the preaching. I don't care. Some of you just need to get some things straightened out. And if I can't seem to get through to you, maybe you could have a meeting with you in your mind and say, I need to do this. But it needs to be done. You know, did you know the preacher may not always be available when you need preached to? Listen, if you don't know what's right to do, then you get help, obviously. Some of you know what's right to do. Preaching to yourself, just because I know how liberal man can be, preaching to yourself does not take the place of being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Sure enough, I'm going to preach this sermon, and the attendance will get down, and one of you will say, well, I stayed home. I say, what for, Bob? Had a service at home. No. But I am telling you, it's time for some of you to preach to you. He said, Brother Owens, where in the world am I going to get my sermon ideas? I'll tell you where. If you need some sermon ideas, let me tell you where you get sermon ideas that you preach to yourself. You get the sermon ideas from sermons you've already heard preached. Do you know something? Did you know that today's sermon is not for today? Today's sermon is for today, and tomorrow, and then Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Thursday, then Friday, then Saturday. You do not come to church to hear a truth for today and then walk away and leave it the rest of your life. You know what's supposed to be happening every time we hear a sermon? We're to take it into ourselves, obey it, start living it, and live it every day for the rest of our life. I think there are some people who don't understand that. John, it's good for me today. Well, it's good for you tomorrow, too. You could preach to yourself the sermons that you have already heard and remind yourself of what you're supposed to be doing based on a sermon that was preached in the past. I preach a sermon called Don't Throw in the Towel. Some of you will remember it. Look, I cannot preach to you. Don't throw in the towel every day of your life. And it's time for some of you to grow up and say, you know what? The preacher can't hold my hand every week and say to me every week, you can make it, you can take it, you can make it, you can take it. Look, there are other things that need to be preached on. So 3 months after I preach the sermon, don't throw in the towel, and you're ready to throw in the towel, suck it up, get in the pulpit and say to yourself, how about throwing in the towel? Where are you going to get your sermon ideas? Well, get them from other sermons you've heard preached. I have a sermon called, How Are Your People Skills? And I preach about how to get along with people, and the greatest skill in the world are skills with people. You're not going to take anything from this life to the next life with you except for people. You better learn how to get along with people. Well, good night. The pulpit and administration of a church is not supposed to be dealing with people problems every day of the week, all day long, because people can't get along. And there's somebody in this church today, you're not getting along with somebody in this church today, and I don't have time to preach a 45-minute sermon on it this morning. Some of you just need to look that thing right square in the eye and say, but I need to get right with God about this. I know what I'm supposed to do. I've heard the preaching before. You remember those sermons, you let them change your life. That's how you preach to yourself. Preach a sermon called, You Can't Regather the Feathers, about gossip. And I'm glad there's still feathers all over the property. I hope you're reminded every week. I preach a sermon, I've not preached it here in this pulpit, it's called Bulldog Christianity. Somebody walked up to me the other day and said, you gonna preach bulldog Christianity? I preached a sermon about an old bulldog. Old bulldog get a hold of a shoe, and my aunt had a bulldog, and I'd grab a hold of one end of that shoe, and that bulldog would grab a hold of the other end of that shoe. I could pick that bulldog up off the ground like this. I could swing it around in the air. I could throw that shoe, and that old bulldog would sail through the air. Slobber, snot, everything, everywhere. And that old bulldog would hit the ground and get up and say, I feel like a shoe on my mouth. Some of you have heard it on tape. That's where you just bite into the things of God and you say, I don't care what comes my way. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to hang on to it. Some of you need to preach to yourself some of the sermons that you've heard. I preach a sermon, I preach it here on a Wednesday night, I think it's called, Are You So Winning or So Losing? You are either influencing people toward heaven or influencing them away from heaven. Which one are you doing? There's no neutral stand. It's time for some of you to start realizing the people that you work with, they're lost and on their way to hell, and you need to start telling them about Jesus Christ and get them into church. You can't, as a Christian, you can't live your entire life and ignore everybody around you and think you're getting off the hook. You are responsible to influence people toward heaven. I preach a sermon called, Their Hearts Were As Fat As Grease. Preached it, I think, a couple of years ago at our missions conference. I talked about how spoiled we are. And how stingy we are. Look, I cannot preach on stinginess every week to keep us on track. There are some of you, we can preach on something, and the preaching lasts about 2 weeks. Some for 2 days. Some for 2 hours. And we're right back to where we were before. Well, you know, what do I do about that, Brother Owens? Preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. You get you moving along. You get up in your face. You know something? Tell you something. Listen to this very carefully. I know people across this auditorium that have heard great preachers. The best. And the finest sermons preached on this globe by human being, you've heard them. Now it's time for some of you to knock it off.
Amen.
And live right. Though there are a few visitors here and some new converts here, you don't know a lot about the things of God. You hang in there. We'll teach you and we'll preach to you. This is not an announcement that Brother Owens is going to stop preaching. Not in the slightest. But you'll keep learning. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a whole bunch of you. You've heard some of the greatest preachers that ever walked through this face of this earth. You've heard it over and over and over again. You have so much tucked into your heart, so much tucked into your mind. What are you doing? Why are you struggling with some of the things you're struggling with? Why do you have the attitude that you have? Why won't you come back to church? Why aren't you winning souls? Why aren't you living righteous? Why aren't you getting along with your husband? Why aren't you getting along with your wife? Why are you doing what you're doing with your life? You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Look yourself right square in the eyeball and say, you know what to do, bud, and I'm going to make you do it. Oh, yeah. It's time for some of you to start searching your background. And hey, you know, I hear people say, yeah, I love to hear the preaching of Tom Malone and Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles and all those great greats. Well, were they just entertaining you? Are you more excited about the fact that you just heard them or the truth? That was that they preached it to change your life, not to entertain you. They weren't trying to become a part of your historical memories. They were trying to become a part of your life and change that life. So where am I going to get my sermon ideas if I'm going to preach to myself? You go back to the great preachers that you've heard that preached that book. Now, some of you have heard some preaching that you shouldn't repeat. But many of you, you know what you ought to do. Say, what else, Brother Owens? Well, you can preach to yourself from the Bible passages you've read. You know that's what the Bible's for? You're supposed to read it and then say to yourself, you're going to do that. I do not have to preach a sermon on a verse for you to supposed to be living it. You're supposed to live it whether I preach on it or not. We want spoon-fed, don't we? We don't want to do anything ourselves. Don't want to be spiritual on our own. We're supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's time for some of you to preach to yourself about the fact there is no temptation that has to overcome you. You can overcome any temptation the devil brings your way. And you are going to have to tell you that, because I can't go with you everywhere and say, no, don't do that. That's wrong. It's time for some of you to grab yourself and say, no, I'm not to do that. It's wrong. The Bible says so. And I am telling me to do what the Bible says. The Bible passages you've read become the text and the guts, if you will, of the sermon that you need to preach to you. It's time for some of you to have some pretty serious talks with yourself. It's time for some of you to just face the fact you know what's right to do, and it's time for some of you to start doing what you know is right. James chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The only way some of you are ever going to overcome your tongue of gossip and criticism is that you make you live right. It's obvious that some of my preaching on it will not shut some people up. It's obvious. Until you start preaching to yourself, you're not going to overcome the weakness of being critical and the weakness of gossip. See, you've already got all the dynamite you need to blow that tongue out of your mouth, but you just won't light the fuse. And for some, it's going to take quite a big stick to loosen that tongue. What do we do? Where are you going to get the sermons that you preach? You're going to get those sermons from the Word of God. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. It's time for some of you to start preaching yourself about your giving. You preach to you about your giving. Where in the world am I going to get my sermon ideas? But Owens, you say I need to have a serious talk with myself. And I need to tell myself what is right. And I've got to get down to this thing and face myself and meet with myself, have a meeting with myself, and tell myself what I'm supposed to do. Where am I going to get my sermon ideas? You get them from other sermons that you've heard preached. You get them from the Word of God, which you have read. Thirdly, you get it from counsel that you have received. There are many of you, you have sat with me in my office and said, Brother Owens, what do I do to solve this problem? I have told you. I told you exactly what would solve your problem. You leave my office, you go out and do the same thing that you were doing wrong before you came in my office, and let me tell you something. That's not my fault. If you won't do what you're taught to do, hey, it's not your mama's fault, it's not your daddy's fault, look. If you've been told what to do and you won't do it, it's your fault, and it's no wonder you're miserable. You say, well, what's the key? I can tell you of a marriage right now, if the husband and wife would do exactly what I told them, we'd have their life cleaned up in a matter of a couple weeks. They won't do it. She won't make herself do right. He won't make himself do right. Look, grown adults don't have other grown adults making them do what's right. They have to make themselves. This will be a hard sermon for some of you because I'm making you face yourself. This is not a sermon where we baby people. This is a sermon where we're looking in a reflection saying, ooh, I don't like what I see. Look, where are you going to get your sermon ideas? You get them from sermons that you've heard preached. They're in your mind. You get them from the Bible that you read every day. You're supposed to. You get them from counseling appointments where someone has taught you to do right. You're going to have to learn. You know what most of my counseling is? Reminding someone of what I told them the time before. It's amazing. I usually tell you the truth the first time.
Then he comes to me the second time, and I try to figure out a way to word the thing the second time, but it's the same thing I told you the first time, because I don't want you to feel like an idiot. Then he comes to me the third time, and I say, well, let's see if we can approach this from a different angle. So I can tell you the same thing I told you the first time that I told you the second time, and you still have not chosen to do what you were told. So you come see me the fourth time, and I say, well, let's see if we can figure out another way to approach this thing, because I don't want you to get mad at me when I say, why don't you just do what you're supposed to do?
Come on, brother, I don't like that. Man said, I asked myself how to help my unhappy wife. I asked myself, how can I help my unhappy wife? So, took her to a psychiatrist. They talked. He called me back in the office. Psychiatrist said, the treatment is going to be odd but easy. Man said, okay, what is it? The doctor walked over to this guy's wife and laid a great big old smooch on her. Grabbed a hold of her, put a lip lock on that woman. Kissed her long and hard. Doctor let go, started to walk away, and that woman was smiling from ear to ear. She suddenly was happy. The doctor said, that right there is what your wife needs. And she needs it a couple of times a week. The man said, I'll bring her in on Tuesday and Thursday if you got time, Doc. Said, where am I going to get these sermons that I need to preach to myself? You just go into your record. Listen, folks, if you've been here in the last 3.5 years in my preaching, some of you can go all the way back. You've heard Dr. Smith preach over and over again. You take the last 3.5 years, I'm going to tell you something. You've got your computer programmed. You've got enough in your heart and in your mind to be an excellent Christian if you'll just do what you've been taught to do. And look, you need to tell you to do it. You get it from the sermons that have been preached and the Bible that you have read and studied. You get it from the counsel that you have received. Some of you need to get it from the study of yourself. You need to know your weaknesses. Look, if some of you would just come clean with yourself, if you'd look yourself right square in the eyeball and say, I am lazy. And I've got to take care of that thing. I'm going to quit making up excuses for myself. I'm going to quit pampering myself. I'm going to quit blaming my mama and blaming my daddy and blaming everybody else. And I need to make me go to work and work hard and do what I'm supposed to do. You can fix it. Or you know what you can do? You can get mad at me because I tell you the truth. By the way, I don't even know what you're thinking about in your brain right now. There are people already mad at me. What I say about you must be that you know inside you that you've got problems with you. You just don't want anybody opening up the closet door for you to look in, and I'm forcing it open for a moment. You need to look into some of those areas of your life that you don't want to face. Learn yourself. Be prepared to preach to yourself. Some of you, it's time for you to be hard on yourself. I'll tell you something. You want to do me a favor? Take the pressure off of me, please. Take the pressure off of me. You just start preaching to yourself what you know you're supposed to do. I have some delightful things I'd like to preach. Easy. Everybody loves me. Everybody likes me. I love those. God, they're so much easier to preach. If you'd put the pressure on yourself, it'd take some pressure off of me. I got my hands full putting pressure on me. You tell yourself the truth. Stop babying yourself spiritually. Stop making up excuses. Well, I'm a young Christian. That's why I'm not living that way. Come on. If you're smart enough to say that of yourself, you ought to be stepping up. Stop being a liberal with yourself. You know something? If you were a preacher, based on how much you preach to yourself, what kind of preacher would you be? Some of you would be so liberal. Think about it for a second. If you were a preacher and you were pastoring a church,
based on the kind of preaching you do to yourself, what you require of yourself, how you preach to yourself, what kind of preacher would you be? Most of you would not dare call yourself to be the pastor of this church. You say, I don't want nobody like that leading me. That person is leading you. You are leading you. Where are you going to get your sermon ideas? Well, you get them from sermons that you've heard preached. You get them from passages of Scripture that you have read and studied. You get them from counseling sessions. You get them from studying you and facing you. Let me tell you about some sermons that I preach to myself. Here's some sermons. You understand, every week of my life, I must preach to me. I pastor me. And I pastor me every day of the week. You say, Brother Owens, how do I make good decisions? You can make them the same way I do. Before I make a decision, I preach to myself about what would be right, what would be good, what would be that right way to handle something. Constantly preach to myself. I'm not talking about you being a schizophrenic. We're not talking about that. Not at all. You know, the best thing about being schizophrenic, you're never alone. So let me tell you about some of the sermons I preach to me, for instance. I have to preach to me on this subject far too often. I'm often saying to myself, never does God bring a burden to me that is greater than I can bear. Now I'm going to tell you all something. You're either going to learn to preach that to yourself, or someday you're going to self-destruct. God never brings a burden into my life that is greater than I can bear. I preach that to myself over and over and over again. I have to. You see, I'll come to you and I'll preach a sermon to you about suffering. Last Sunday morning, we preached a sermon on suffering here. God knows I want to help you. I want you to understand the things of life. I want to strengthen you. But who preaches sermons to me about when it's going tough for me? I have to preach sermons to me when it's going tough for me. And who does that? I have to do that. And some of you need to learn the moment the burden comes, you step up and you say, one thing I do know, there's no burden so big I can't bear it. That way you don't flip out, freak out, run from God. How far do you run from God before you hear me remind you of the truth, there's no burden so big that God won't help you to bear it? How far do you get away from God before you're reminded of that? You need to remind you of that. You need to preach to you about that. That's one of the sermons that I preach to myself. It is a sermon that you will preach to yourself often if you want to succeed. I can make it. I can take it. God won't bring anything into my life that's too big for me. Preach it the moment. The very moment the burden hits, you stop, gather yourself and say, there's one thing I do know. God's a good God. God's a fair God. God will never bring to me anything that is too big for me. With God's help, I can make it. I can take it. Then you go ahead and weep. You go ahead and do whatever you must do. But you need to learn to preach to yourself the truth that there's no burden coming into your life that you can't bear. It's one that I preach myself all the time. Tell yourself, I can, not I can't. Tell yourself, with God's help, we can do this. There's another one that I have to preach to myself continuously. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. This will keep you from acting in ways that you should not act and behaving in ways you should not. Look, in this world, we deal with a lot of people. And I don't want you to have any enemies, but it's time for some of you to learn that when you do have an enemy, you're not supposed to attack them. You're to love them. If you will preach to yourself, I am to love my enemies. There's some in here. I'll guarantee you this right now. What I'm teaching is as much the Bible as hundreds of other truths that I preach that you agree with. But I'll guarantee you there's somebody in this building right now that is saying, I will not love my enemy. I will not do it. You are in rebellion to God. And you need to preach it to you. It'll keep you from saying what you shouldn't say and doing what you shouldn't do and hurting people that you shouldn't hurt. I preach it to myself all the time. Let me tell you something I preach to myself all the time. I'm constantly preaching to myself that His mercies are new every morning. Constantly. Constantly. The day gets rough. When you have a spiritual church, let me tell you something. We have an enemy. He's not happy about it. He's doing a lot of attacking. There are days when I have to say at the end of the day, I'm going to sleep. Because I know I'm going to feel better tomorrow. I preached to myself, you know what I need? I just need to lay my head on the pillow and let God have the next 6 hours to sort through some of this in my mind and in life. I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I just know God's going to have some things sorted out. Have you ever noticed how it works that way? You just look at it in the evening and it wears you down and you're tired and you're brokenhearted and you're saying, I'm not going to make it. This is such a mess. We're never going to get out of this thing. What are we going to do? I say, I'm going to bed. I go to bed and I wake up so many times in the next morning. And I think, oh, the air's fresh. Yesterday I spoke of an old-time Salvation Army singer named Howard Jewell. I remember hearing him sing, and the sun's coming up in the morning. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. There are times at midnight I'm thinking I can't take any more. I've been beat. I've been walked on. I've been talked about. What am I going to do? And I say, I'm going to bed. And I wake up the next morning and find out that that Bible verse, His mercies are new every morning. I wake up and God through the night had sorted some things out. God had fixed some things up. I get me a big old cup of coffee. Hey, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. I preach to myself often, things will be better tomorrow. Tomorrow brings hope. Let me tell you another truth I preach to myself often. I'm constantly reminding myself to see the entire picture of someone's life. I'm constantly preaching to myself. Constantly reminding myself, look at a big picture of that life. Look at a big picture of that ministry. I have some friends out in the ministry. I think they're messing up. I think they're doing some dumb things. I think they're heading down some wrong path. But let me tell you something. I've watched them for years and years and years, and they were on a good path, and they were on a right path. And I got to give them credit for all the good things they've done all those years, even though for a season right now, they're off track. You know something? When somebody in our church here, maybe they go out and they mess up their life. And so you all know it can happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like the rapture. The devil gets into your brain, gets into your life, leads you off track. And one day you say, I can't believe I just did what I did. What a mistake I've made. I messed up my life. Well, let me remind you or let me tell you something that you need to know about this preacher. Because you messed up one day of your life in my thinking, and I believe in God's thinking, that does not mean your entire life is wasted or trashed. There are some people that have lived very godly lives and given to this church and done a lot of wonderful things around this church. So they stumble and they make a mess of their life for a few weeks or a few months or even a few years. Hey, let me tell you something. Your God still loves you and God's still got all the records of all the good things that you did. What the devil would like to do, he'd like to say, your entire record is now tainted and he wants you to waste the rest of your life living in a wild, wicked way because you can't find forgiveness or peace with your disappointment in God or God's disappointment in you. Let me tell you something. If you mess up, you just come on back to God. Because you'll get credit for everything you did before you messed up. And if you'll listen to me about it, we'll get you back on track. And there's a whole lot of other good things God can do with the rest of your life. I'm constantly saying to myself, see the big picture. See the big picture. I could help some of you very much with your marriage. You got one thing that it eats at you and eats at you and eats at you in your marriage. If I could get you to preach to yourself about seeing the big picture, there's a whole lot of good things about your wife. There's a whole lot of good things about your husband. There's a whole lot of good things about those kids, but somehow we gravitate toward the negative and we want to go after that one little thing and it pecks at us and pecks at us and it ruins our relationship. Look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. Constantly preaching to myself. I'm constantly saying, if somebody lets you down, remember all the good things they did before they let you down. Try to regain them so they can be a contributor in the future. I'll tell you something I'm constantly preaching to myself. The devil's my true enemy. The devil is my true enemy. The devil is my true enemy. Hey, husband and wife, if you'll stop just long enough to mount the pulpit and say this to yourself, I'm having a struggle in my marriage right now, but the devil's gotten into this thing. The devil is corrupting our thinking. The devil is trying to ruin our marriage. The devil is trying to mess us up. If you'd do that, it'd snap some of you to your senses so you wouldn't be enemies with each other.
Right.
Okay, he made a mistake. All right, but I can tell you something. The devil wants him to mess up your marriage. He's leading him to mess up your marriage. You better remember who your real enemy is. There are all sorts of people out there that get off track because they start following the devil down the wrong path. You know something? I know who my enemy is. And I know when human beings seem to become my enemy, there's a devil that has messed with them. There's a devil that has deceived them, that's hurting them. That's one reason why I need to love my enemies. I hate the devil. The devil's getting into your situation, and it's time for us to stop ignoring him and realize he's real. He's real. It's time for some of you to realize if you have some struggle with some church member, somehow the devil's gotten into that thing. I'll tell you where the devil really gets in, when two church members have conflict and they won't get it right with each other. You need to get your emotions out of this thing, and you need to realize that's exactly what the devil wants. Two bus workers somehow don't get along, and the devil's saying, I love it, I love it, I love it. You get that thing right with each other so the devil, who is our true enemy, does not destroy what goes on in our bus ministry. Two people that teach at our school don't get along. You better be careful before the devil gets into that thing. Two people that sing in our choir, for some reason, they don't get along, and they don't get it right with each other. Before long, you've got hatred and disunity in a singing group. Hey, that'll ruin the spirit of the singing. You better remember who the real enemy is. Let me tell you something else I have to preach to myself about often. I have to constantly say to myself, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. The only jokes that I shouldn't tell in the pulpit are the ones I don't ask Mrs. Owens whether I ought to tell them or not. She said, honey, you shouldn't have said that. I'm thinking, God. It's her talking to myself. I got to think before I speak. And you need to learn to think before you speak too. Plan your reaction. It is so easy to just attack. Attack. Say things you shouldn't say. We got to think before we speak. Hey, you know, it's not always smart to fight back. Don't make things worse. Constantly preaching to myself. I really don't like to fight. But if you back me in a corner, I'll fight. And there's sometimes I realize I'm getting backed in a corner and I'm saying to myself, take it easy now. Take it easy now. Take it easy now. Don't make this thing worse. Don't make this thing worse. Don't make this thing worse. Give it some time. Let God try to help solve it. But there's some of you, you don't talk to yourself that way. Where somebody can cross you and you're at their throat just like that. You're just like a rabid animal, frothing at the mouth. It's time for some of you to mount the pulpit in your mind and say to yourself, we are going to think before we react. We are going to think before we speak. Let me tell you my biggest problem. You found out what a rotten louse I am today. And I can't even tell you half. Well, let me tell you, my biggest problem is my pride. Man, do I have to stay on me. I mean, brother, every day of my life, I have to say, shut up. You don't know everything. I have to constantly be on myself. Constantly. You ever had any problem with your pride? Pride that says, this sermon ain't for me. I'll tell you something. If you're sitting here right now saying, this ain't for me, you're not real, real bright. You are a long way away from being spiritual if you can sit under a sermon like this and shrug it off. And I mean that. Because this is an examination of us. Me and you. And I preach to me. I have to preach to me. God did not give me all those sermons and all that scripture and all that truth to entertain me while a guy got up and spit while he talked about it for 45 minutes. He put it in my heart and in my mind because he wanted me to have recall to it and obey the preaching that goes on inside my own mind. I preach to myself. Oh, let me tell you something. Don't preach heresy to yourself. If we read a story, which we're not going to, in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19, there's a story of a rich man. He was wealthy and he said, I've got all this stuff. Matter of fact, I've got so much fruit. I am multiplying so quick. I don't have big enough barns to take care of everything I have. What am I going to do with it? And the Bible says, it says that without even giving consideration to giving some to the poor, or giving a little bit of his richness away, he said, you know what I'll do? I'm just going to tear all my barns down. I'll build bigger barns. I'll take care of me. I'll kick back and coast through life. I don't care about everybody else. And the Bible says this in verse 20, God said, thou fool. But in verse 17, it says these words, he thought within himself. Here, the first man, the steward, he thought within himself, and the Lord came back and said, you did something halfway smart there. This guy, it says he thought within himself, and God says, thou fool, what happened? He preached heresy to himself. Hey, don't preach to yourself what is easy. Don't preach to yourself what you want to hear. Try for some of you, stop lying to yourself. As I said earlier, it's a good thing that you're not a pastor, because such weak sermons that you preach to yourself, well, would you have a mess of a church? Sometimes we'll virtually preach false doctrine to ourselves, false principles to ourselves. There's this woman. She'd been talking to herself. Talking to herself. She talked to herself about killing her husband.
Some of you are saying, so what's weird about that?
She went to the drugstore, went up to the pharmacist and said, listen, I'd like to get some cyanide. Lady pharmacist said, what in the world do you want cyanide for? The woman said, I want to kill my husband with it. The pharmacist said, I cannot sell it to you so you can kill your husband. This lady digs through her first purse and finds a picture of her husband. The ugliest, fattest, slob of a man you've ever seen. She digs through there. She finds a picture, shows it to the pharmacist and says, look at that. And the lady pharmacist said, oh, I didn't know you had a prescription. Here's your cyanide. Hey, be careful not to preach heresy to yourself. If you're going to preach to yourself, preach the truth. If you're going to preach to yourself, preach the truth of the Bible. If you're going to preach to yourself, make sure that you are telling you the truth. Hey, stop making up excuses for yourself and then accepting them. Are we not guilty? Stop making exceptions for yourself continuously. The reason why you are just treading water spiritually is because you make excuse after excuse after excuse for yourself, and then you accept it. It's too hard. I know. I don't think we can do it. I know. Well, it's my mom's fault. I know. We're flipped out. I know. Stop babying yourself. Did you know I cannot change your life? Did you know God will not change your life for you? You will take what He teaches you, obey it, let the Holy Spirit lead you, but it all boils down to you doing what He has put in your mind, and then you start preaching it to yourself. Those of you who reject the truth I preach will be terrible at preaching to yourself. When I preach faithfulness to church and you're still unfaithful, I'll guarantee you, you're not preaching it to yourself. When I preach separation from the world and you will not separate from the world, you are not preaching it to yourself. When I preach about gossip and criticism being wicked as the devil, and you go on and do it, you are not preaching to yourself. when I preach that you can control your temper and I teach you how, and then you still constantly lose your temper, your problem is you're not preaching it to yourself. Listen to this well. When I preach that you do not have to struggle from constant depression, and I teach it and teach it and teach it and teach it and preach it, and I do it over and over and over and over again, and the only time you get enough oomph to get a smile on your face is after I preach it. Your problem is, if I can preach it and you can change because I preach it, why can't you preach it and change it while you're preaching it? Make sense? If in other words, I came and heard you preach and got the courage to go on, well, tomorrow, then preach the same sermon I preached that gave you courage today and get your own courage tomorrow. Lord, I felt like I had some self-control because I heard you preach on self-control. And I thought, boy, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Well, tomorrow, wake up and preach the same sermon to yourself about self-control. Because if I can preach you into believing you can do it, you can preach you into believing you can do it. This is what makes for good Christians. The church is not to be spoon-fed and babied all their lives. Gotta be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christians that stand tall and walk with God. Oh, yes, we'll have burdens. Yes, we'll have heartaches. But we've been fed and taught and trained and taught and fed and trained. It's time to rise up and do what you've been taught to do. It's time to say to yourself, this is how it's going to be because the Bible says so. Now, let me tell you something. The more you have been preached to, the more you have been taught, and the more you choose to fail, it is your responsibility. You can pass the buck all you want to. And I can pass the buck all I want to. But the more you've been given, the more is going to be expected of you. Hey, we've been given quite a bit around here. Boy, I could go through this auditorium right now and start pointing to people saying, I know who you've heard preach, and you've heard preach. I know what you've been taught, and you've been taught, and you've been taught. I know what you've been taught, and what you've been taught. I know where you have been. I know who you've heard preach. I know what truth you've heard, and you've heard, and you've heard, and you've heard, and I've heard, and all of us have heard. Don't you think that Christianity ought to grow up a little bit and not have to be spoon-fed all the time and pull out of your mind and your heart what God has given us and say, I'm going to live right. The title of my sermon this morning is Learn to Preach to Yourself. Learn to preach to yourself. Look, let me tell you what the gospel is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. For you to get saved, you need to realize you're a sinner. You need to realize that sinners go to hell. You need to realize that Jesus didn't want you to go to hell. That's why He came, died, buried, resurrected. You need to turn to Him and ask Him to be your Savior, forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. You know what? Most everybody here has heard that. There's somebody here, you're not saved. If you die today, you do not know for a fact you'd go to heaven. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call. You know what you need to do? When we bow our head and close our eyes, you're not saved. You need to say to you, go get saved. Go get saved. You're not saved. You know you're not saved. You need God in your life. And then you get you up out of your pew, walk down the aisle and say, I want to be saved. We know we need God. We know we need the Savior. And do something about it. What are you waiting on? What are we waiting on? Somebody here needs to get baptized. The Bible teaches after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. If you've never been baptized, you need to walk down here and get cared for. Somebody here needs to join the church. The Bible's very clear on it. You get saved, you get baptized, you become a member of the church. You're not a member of the church, get it taken care of. Quit making up excuses and exceptions for yourself and get it cared for. You know what's right to do. And start preaching to yourself about it and stop ignoring it. Stop making up your excuses. Somebody here needs to get your life straightened out. You need to rededicate your life. You know you do. The only person that's going to make an impact on you at this moment is you. Somebody here today needs to say, I need to rededicate my life. I'm doing it. I'm making myself do it. That's how it's going to be. I could preach my heart out and you not move. It's time for some of you to take responsibility for what has been put inside you and start preaching to yourself. You need to have a very serious talk. Not with me. Virtually not even with God.
but with you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.